And Helen, thank you very much for helping me this morning lead the service. On this Trinity Sunday, I hope you've got the order of service in front of you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Lord God, some of the disciples doubted when they saw you, but you didn't leave them in their darkness. You came to them. Come to us now, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, where you are, there is love. May we never doubt your love for us. May we be transfixed as we look upon your face. Come to us here, Lord, as we worship you. Amen. You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Lord, sometimes we can't figure things out, and because they don't make sense to us, we put them aside. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we doubt. Sometimes we don't do what you want us to do. We find what you call us to do too daunting. Forgive us, Lord, for letting fear hold us back. Sometimes we outwardly worship, but inwardly we doubt. Sometimes we don't feel your presence, overcome by our problems. Forgive us, Lord, and restore us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven has been given to me." Lord God, we have confessed our sins to you. We are released from them into your wholeness and everlasting love. Thank you for your all-encompassing forgiveness. Amen. And Helen has our first reading.
Our first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God saw that the light was good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be for ever. Amen. And Helen has our second reading for us.
Our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In 2 weeks, the 2026 Men's World Cup kicks off in Mexico, and huge numbers will tune in to watch their country's matches. It's a big adventure for everyone involved. This week, a new series started on BBC, Dear England. It is a dramatization of a play about Gareth Southgate and his transformative management of England men's football team through two World Cups and more. And it is well worth watching. Southgate is considered as a top England manager and credited with turning around a squad in defeat. He recognised that talented players were struggling with fear and doubts, especially with the huge backlash of hatred unleashed at players who made mistakes. Together with a psychologist, they encouraged players to recognize fears and to accept that they can make mistakes and always be a valued part of the team. Southgate would send out his players empowered with freedom to use their unique giftings, trusting in him and each other. In today's passage from Matthew, it can be easy to overlook the disciples' doubt. It isn't clear what they doubted, that Jesus had risen. Did they doubt that he would ask them to make disciples without them? Whatever they were doubting, and whether all doubted or a few, the disciples went on to establish the church across the Roman Empire. Doubt does not disqualify us from serving Jesus. You might even say it's expected. We don't need to beat ourselves up for our doubts, just as long as we remember that we have been sent and are obedient in going to those whom Jesus is sending us. In the football drama, the psychologist quotes, "You are not alone. An invisible thread links you all, connecting." As Christians, we can also trust that even if we don't get it right, we too have an invisible thread. We are connected to a loving God who desires everyone to know that love and that relationship. And as I think we know here, we are also connected to each other. Jesus sends his disciples out. He loves them and has spent 3 years teaching and guiding them so they will be ready for this mission. He can do this with confidence because he spent 3 years training them to imitate him and to follow his ways. His parting instructions to go, make disciples, and baptize and teach aren't standalone items on a checklist for the disciples. There's so much more to each of these actions, and the disciples understand what is required of them because they have been shown what to do, and they have participated in Jesus' work and have been given opportunities to try it out and learn for themselves during the past 3 years of Jesus' ministry. They are told to make disciples and to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Trinity. So today is Trinity Sunday. And we might think, what on earth has that got to do with anything? Most Christian festivals honour events that are fun to describe and to dramatise. But Trinity Sunday invites us to celebrate an idea, a spiritual concept that's difficult to explain and a bit of a mystery. One in three, three in one. There have been lots of attempts to explain it. Most of them are well-meaning, but somewhat inadequate. After all, it's difficult to explain a triune God. Oh well, the Trinity is sort of like water, you know, liquid, vapour, and ice. The Trinity is like that. Or think of a tree, the roots, the trunk, and the branches. Three parts, one tree. Or an egg, the shell, the egg white, and the yolk. Or a triangle. Or St. Peter's shamrock, three petals and one clover. Or, courtesy of John Wesley, three candles in a room, one light by which to read. All of these explanations, lovely and helpful though they are, fall short, and none of them address the deeper question, so what? What difference does the three in one make? Okay, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what? Does the Christian doctrine of the Trinity matter? Maybe the Trinity teaches us a lesson in humility. It's easy to imagine that we have the monopoly on the divine. It's easy to grow smug and complacent and to assume that our expression of faith, our liturgy, the way we do things, captures the best version of who God is and what God desires. One thing the Trinity does is challenge this assumption. The truth of God will always exceed us. The truth of God will always be more than our tiny, easily overwhelmed minds can bear. The truth of God will always confront, convict, and remake us, even as it calms, soothes, and affirms us. This is a good thing. It is good and right and necessary to remember that we are created in God's image and we are not at liberty to reshape God into ours. So Trinity Sunday requires us to acknowledge that we are out of our depth. We begin in fear and trembling, recognizing that when it comes to understanding God, we are wholly dependent on his revelation to us. The Trinity matters because what we believe about the nature of God, in whose image we are created, as Genesis affirms, is a matter of life and death. How can we know who we are and what we were made for and who we should be to each other unless we know who God is? If the desire and delight of God is that we live into the fullness of the image of God that God created us to be, then we must commit ourselves to studying and experiencing God's nature in all of its fullness and mystery. So, as we look at the Trinity, what can we see? Firstly, I think we'll see that God is active. God is dynamic. If God is three, God does not exist in constant inertia. Rather, God moves. Or, as Richard Rohr, the Franciscan theologian, puts it, God dances, and God is dance. We worship a God who is always on the move, always spilling over, always free, always a surprise. His unity, his threeness, does not require him to be static. Of course, you and I are prone to be rigid and unbending. We don't like change, and we are often reluctant to embrace what is new what is unfamiliar and what is uncomfortable. But if God's nature is flow and movement and dance, then we need to find the courage to enter into that same flow, that same movement, and begin to dance. We must be willing to evolve. Secondly, God is diverse. If God exists in three persons, then each person has his or her own way of expressing and communicating different qualities and characteristics, goodness, beauty, love, and righteousness. So why do we fear difference so much when difference lies at the very heart of God's nature? We need to learn how to live gracefully and peacefully with difference. We will not heal unless we're honest about our fears, repenting our histories, and persistent in our desire for God's diverse nature to be realized in its fullness among us. Thirdly, we'll see that God is communal. Now, it's one thing to say that God values community or that God thinks community is good for us. It's altogether another thing to say that God is communal, that God is relationship. Evidence of this divine characteristic runs all through the Bible. When God the Son is baptized, God the Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and God the Father parts the heavens to speak delight and affirmation. The Spirit of God drives the Son of God into the wilderness for a time of testing and preparation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Son of God cries out to God the Father for help and solace. It is God the Father who raises the crucified Son, vindicating his death through resurrection. Throughout the Gospel story, the three exist interdependently. They lean into each other. So the question I found myself asking, why do we isolate ourselves from each other? Why do we decide to go it alone? Why do we prize independence and self-sufficiency over companionship and mutuality? Why, as a society, do we prioritize our individual rights over our care and concern for the most vulnerable among us? If the Trinity really does show us that God is relationship in its deepest form, then we dare not take lightly the life-changing power of the communal. God is relationship, and it is in relationship with God, with ourselves, with each other, and with the creative world that we experience and personify God's nature. God is hospitable. In the 15th century, the Russian iconographer Andrei Rublev created the Hospitality of Abraham, known as the Trinity, one of the most well-known and beloved icons in Christendom. In it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, depicted as the three angels who appeared to Abraham, sit around a table sharing food and drink. Their faces are nearly identical, but they're dressed in different colors. The Father wears gold, the Son blue, and the Spirit green. The Father gazes at the Son gazes back at the Father, but gestures towards the Spirit. The Spirit gazes at the Father, but points towards the Son with one hand and opens up the circle with the other, making room for others to join the sacred meal. The icon exudes adoration and intimacy. Clearly, the three persons around the table respect and enjoy each other, but it exudes openness. There is space at the table for the viewer of the icon, for me, for you, for us. As if to say, The point of the great three-in-one is not exclusivity, but rather radical hospitality. The point of the three is always to add one more, to extend the invitation, to make the holy table more expansive and more welcoming. And the closer we draw to the adoration of the three, the wider and more hospitable our hearts must grow towards the world. And finally, we'll see that God is sacrificial love. The Trinity at its heart is an expression of deep, unfaltering, and life-giving love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The relationship between the persons of the Trinity is not a relationship of domination, power-mongering, manipulation, or jealousy. It is a relationship of unselfish, sacrificial love, which begs the question, if God's very being is love, and we are created in God's image, are we motivated first and foremost by love? Is love what we are known for? If not, then what are we doing with our lives? Why should we care about the three in one? Well, I think we should care because we are children of the Trinity. We are the children of a mysterious, fluid, diverse, communal, hospitable, and loving God who wants to guide us into the whole truth of who God is and who we are. We should care because the mystery of the Trinity has the power to transform our hearts, leading us towards coherence and dynamism, unity and diversity, hospitality and self-giving love. Matthew ends his gospel with Jesus commissioning his disciples at the point they have been apprenticed to do all of the things he is asking for them. It might feel like a big next step to be without him by their side, but Jesus knows they are ready and can do it. Jesus assures them, "I am with you always," knowing that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and able to know his presence with them wherever they go. Jesus sends them out and sends us out, but is also able to promise to be with them and us through the gift of the Holy Spirit to the end of the age. This week and always, as we are sent out into the world to tell others about Jesus, may our lives reflect the transformative beauty of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now Helen is going to lead us in our prayers.
Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, send us to make peace. Send us to bring together what has been broken. Send us to the failed and failing, to the angry and argumentative. We pray for honesty about our own mistakes, for a calm mind and a gentle way of relating to other people and of attending to people whose views are not our own. We pray for the bravery to bring people together, although it is often painful to reconcile differences. And we pray for the political courage and leadership that is needed to bring warring factions together. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, send us to speak your message. Send us to live out our faith. Send us to the lost and loveless, to the excluded and powerless, to draw them into your love We pray for welcome to be the lived experience of our church community, showing the all-embracing love of the Trinity to everyone. We remember people in our society who feel on the margins of society and for everyone who feels overlooked. And we pray for the generosity that includes and affirms others. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, send us to the victims. Send us to the ground down and the vulnerable. Send us to those who have been abused or who have experienced violence, to people who are homeless, and to the refugees fleeing for their lives. We pray for everyone who has been displaced by war, especially in Gaza, in the West Bank, in southern Lebanon, and in Ukraine. We pray for those who listen to the painful stories of abuse, for truth to be spoken and lives to be healed. We pray that you would shape us into communities that live out the moment of grace that is at the heart of the Trinitarian life. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, send us to bring healing. Send us to care for the sick. Send us to the suffering and the silenced, to the distressed and despairing. We pray for the week ahead that you would lead us to do what we can to meet the needs of others. We ask that you would be close to everyone in need of your love and remembering the ongoing suffering caused by the spread of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo and in Uganda. And in the quiet, we name to you the people we are most concerned about today. And especially we hold in our hearts the sick, Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Joy, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary, Ron, Mary, and Jemima. And we hold in our hearts to Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. And this week for Margaret Tidball. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, send us to care for the beautiful and fragile earth on which we live. Send us to ask why and what shall we do, as we see how unprepared we are as a country for blistering heat. Send us to ask the awkward questions about what happens when people's homes are too hot to live in, to use resources of water and energy wisely in our own homes, and to advocate for all your creatures. We pray for the unprecedented heat to be a true wake-up call And especially we pray for action on care homes, schools, and overcrowded spaces, and badly insulated homes where people are most at risk. We pray for the will to change and the courage to start big conversations about how we should live. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, come close to us and hear our prayer. Holy God, Trinity of unending love, send us out with peace, hope, kindness, patience, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. But above all, send us out with love, trusting that you will be with us now and always. Amen.
And the collect for the day, Trinity Sunday. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth and draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and those you love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Jesus, thank you for trusting us to go out with your message. Thank you that as we go, we are filled with your Holy Spirit and can know you with us, strengthening and helping us. Lead us to those who are open to becoming learners of you and give us the words to share. Amen. Thank you, Helen.
Thank
Thank
you,
you,
Helen.
everyone.
Thank you,
Thank
Steph.
you.
Thank you.
Lovely to be with you and have a good week and see you next week, hopefully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Helen. Thank
Thanks,
you, Steph.
Helen.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
thank
Thank
you.
you.
Lovely to be with you. Margaret, what's your address? Oh, she's muted.
Can you unmute her?
I'll try and unmute. I should have asked that at the beginning, shouldn't I? Oh, don't worry, I'll contact you tomorrow. I'll find you. There'll be no escape.
Take care, everyone.
Anyway,
Bye, everybody.
lots of
Bye.
love. Have a good
Have a lovely
week.
week,
Bye.
everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. Take
Bye.
care.
God
Bye.
bless.
Steph,
Yeah.
you couldn't send a link, could you, to that icon? I'd love to look at it. I don't know the one you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I will.
Yes,
Yeah.
just send me a link of the picture. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, it's a great picture.
Thank you.
Good to see you,
Okay.
Anthea.
Bye. Yeah,
Bye.
good to see you,
Bye.
Anthea. Bye-bye.
Bye.